the direction of a disciple. Give some thought tonight to that. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Over in, don't lose your place there, but in Luke 14, at verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Cannot. The direction of a disciple. The account in Luke chapter 9, there are a couple things that stand out. First of all is the profound declaration that the Lord makes. He said, and the substance of that is, if any man will or will not, to, as he did here in verse number 23, he just lays it out. Anything extra, anything distracting is pushed to the side. He lays it out, and it's clear that a decision is required. A decision is required. He said to them all, if any man will come after me, a decision is required. There is then to consider the denial. Let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. Or we were thinking in terms there of a self-denial. There is a sense in which there is a comparative to give consideration to. That would be expressed at a place like John 12 and verse 25, where in that place there is a hate and love affection for life. If you, whosoever hateth this life will lose it, that kind of thing. And so when we talk about the denial, we're talking about the element of self-denial, where if a crossroads is reached in a person's Christian life where they have a choice between serving self or serving Christ, it is that they deny self to serve Christ. That's the direction of a disciple. Then we also take note that there is the frequency involved, said there to be daily, verse 23, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily, daily. The sense, of course, is expressed by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Corinthians. I think was it 1 Corinthians 15, verse 30 and 31, where he makes this statement that underscores what this text is teaching, where he said, I die daily. It is also in the same place where it is hourly, hourly. And so the direction of a disciple is not something that you manifest this day and then skip for 3 or 4 days. It is something that whenever a person is carried along by the Spirit, it is a daily thing in which the denial of self is very evident in the decisions and choices that people make in their service for Christ. Self-denial on a daily basis. The direction of discipleship is seen in the last two words in that verse. Follow me. Follow me. There's also weight to be added to the direction when you consider what the Lord teaches in John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. They follow. And so I guess what is to be considered is to whether or not there is a valid distinction to be made between a child of God and a disciple of Christ. I've seen men and sometimes women write little booklets or tracts or pamphlets that give the impression that a person may well be saved by the grace of God, but not necessarily a disciple of Christ. When I try to think that through and see if there's any merit to the rationale, I come away with just the bare words of Christ in the forefront. When Jesus said, my sheep hear. And because they hear, they follow. Now, the hearing, of course, is more than the audible reckoning. It is the hearing with the receiving of what is said. It goes beyond the intellectual apprehension of what he said to the wholehearted reception in its entirety of what he speaks. It, again, is underscored by what we read out of Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, where Jesus, in that great dialogue with his enemy, said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So I will say to you that humbly, I will opt to dismiss the notion that there is a difference between a child of God, as some would say, and a disciple. I don't see any distinction. If a person has been saved by the grace of God, they're a child of God, and therefore they are a disciple by virtue of the fact that they hear, they receive what God says, and consequently they follow the direction, the direction of a disciple. Now, let me take it in a different direction. There are some pretty, I think, eye-opening, instructive places in the Scripture that follow two words that basically lay the groundwork for mimicking or imitating Christ. The two words are "even as." Whenever you see those appear in the Scripture, and I think there's something like, in the New Testament, I think there might be a little over 70 points of reference, 95 in the entire Bible. And out of all of those, if you whittle it down, when you think about the notion of "even as," you might say that whenever you see that in Scripture, it means something like "in like manner," or "in much the same way as," or "in conformity to," for example. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 23. Let's quickly trace through these for our blessing and instruction tonight. Matthew 18 and verse number 33. Now, again, when I extract these verses out of a larger context, I believe that I do them justice and try not to, in cherry-picking them in this fashion, estrange them from the context. So in verse number 33, we read, "Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant," next two words, "even as I had pity on thee." Even as. So when we think about following our Savior, following him in compassion, in mercy, pity, even as he had on you. The question will be this: do I show compassion to others in the same way Christ has shown compassion to me? Is the question. Then there's another one in Matthew chapter 20. Following Christ in servanthood. Matthew 20 verse 27, 28. "Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." Verse 28. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." So we follow him in compassion. We follow him in servanthood. "Even as he came not to be ministered to, but to minister to other people." Then we have in John's Gospel another reference at chapter 15. John chapter 15, please, and we come to verse 10. 15:10. We follow Christ in obedience. 15:10. "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." We follow him in compassion, in servanthood, in obedience. And at all times, at each juncture, we must ask the question, is what is evidenced in my life even as it was in my Savior's life? That's the force of the application. And then probably we have a little bit more, I don't want to say difficult one, but very, very pertinent in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Ephesians 4 and 32. And be ye kind one to another. That's the first thing. Second thing is tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, when somebody offends us and we say, that's okay, I forgive you, yada, 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 we have to ask the question, do I forgive them in the same way exactly that Christ has forgiven me? Are they on a par of equality? Forgiveness. Same thing can be noted at a place in Colossians 3:13, but we go right here to in the same book, chapter 5 and verse 25. 5:25, we follow him in as much as he is the bridegroom. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it in love. Now, the matter in verse number 24 will be non-existent if the reality of verse 25 is missing. The subjection in verse 24 will not be in the equation if 25 is not in play. And then in the epistles, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3, verse 3. We follow him in compassion, in servanthood, in obedience, in forgiveness, in love, and in purity. 1 John 3, verse 3. Every man that hath this hope in him, meant with regard to that in verse number 2. And what is that hope that we all share in common? What does verse number 2 share with or teach us? This is what we have in common. Okay, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. That requires a decision. That's never on automatic pilot. That requires a decision. He purifieth himself, and the next words are, even as he is pure. And how pure is he, by the way? How pure? 100%. Okay. Then finally this. Back up to chapter 2 at verse 6. Chapter 2, verse 6. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, live, even as he walked. So if you do a study on the doctrine of Christ, the Christ life, and everything that you find there and are able to record would fit under 1 John 2, verse 6. We ought to walk even as, in like manner as him, in the same way as him, in conformity to the same way he walked. That's the direction of a disciple of Christ. I have no doubt in my mind that while we live here and we are waiting for our Redeemer to return, there is There ought to be at least in our hearts a willingness toward this end with the sobering reality that as long as we are in the flesh, we are not going to be able to perfect that prospect. But there should never be an absence of a willingness to strive toward that end in the disciple of Christ. Never an absence of willingness, even though we are not going to arrive at that destination here on planet Earth. The only question that remains is, if we think about it mathematically and we gauge it as with a meter, the only question remains is, how high can we put the meter? It's a decision aided by the Spirit of God in the process. How high are you willing to see that meter go, even though you are encumbered, as each of us are, with the flesh? All the more than we are and should be resigned to trust Him, to be dependent upon Him, and to at all times maintain that lively, healthy, heartwarming relationship that comes with a life before God, that when sin occurs, it is confessed and forsaken, and we move on, not looking back, not dredging up old failures, but moving on, for we realize that when He comes, we shall see Him, and we then only, will be like Him. We shall see Him as He is. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, may these little snippets out of the Scripture be a joy to our heart. Give us food for thought. May they comprise, Lord, a bullseye, a target to sight in on as we walk day by day in this world. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, to be aware of all that's around us, and yet help us to realize that we live moment by moment in Your presence. May that be a delightful prospect each day for Jesus' sake. Amen.